Hi, I'm Anaya, and this is season 4 of Girl Truth, where we give you the inside scoop on teenage Black girl experience. Today, we are so lucky to be joined by our guest host, Adina.
Hi, Anaya. Thank you so much for having me on. I am so excited to be back on the podcast. In the past, I worked on doing some producing for this podcast. So I am so excited to see how far you all have come. It is so professional, and I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Yes, and she's also an Evalure House alum, so it's great to have someone back and just speaking on their experiences. So today, we're going to be giving you our version of the Black Girl Survival Guide. What is one thing that you do that you thought was normal but learned that it's a Black girl thing? And I'm putting air quotes around that because, yeah.
For me, I think first it's the hair stuff, especially when I transferred like from a predominantly Black school to going to a predominantly white school. And then in college, being around people who aren't used to how Black girls take care of their hair and the shock value of only washing my hair once a week or...
Yeah, definitely.
Right?
I feel that so much because I do go to a PWI, primarily white institution as well. And I think for me, it was like a similar experience with my hair. I know that I had my hair pressed out once and I went to go put water to slick it down. And let's just say the results were not slicked down. That was definitely my first experience. So I think the hair thing is definitely a big...
Yes. I definitely remember picture day, teacher passing around little tiny... plastic combs.
Oh my gosh, I definitely forgot about that. I was like, whose hair is this?
It wasn't for us.
No. I think that definitely goes into like the little things that you like exclude you kind of from everyone else. Like, you're giving us these little combs and you think that that's gonna...
No.
Yeah, definitely not. So I can agree with you on that. So going into topic one, we're going to talk about like code switching and phrases that are uniquely like Black girl phrases. This is most commonly called like AAVE, like slay, queen. Yeah. So how do you feel about that?
I mean, I think I love AAVE. I love being around Black people, talking to Black people the way we talk. I know that I mostly use it with people like my sister. So I think maybe I learned code switching pretty early and it was something that I didn't use outside of the home. But when I'm with my sister, even now as adults, it slips in so effortlessly when we're joking and laughing and having a good time. So I love the joy of the way that we talk, even if it's not standard American English. I think it's beautiful in its own way. And I guess one thing I would add is I was really good at code switching when I was younger. But now that a lot of Black slang has like crossed over into TikTok.
Yeah, I can definitely agree with that. Like social media has like put AAVE on blast. Right. And a lot of people use the AAVE really wrong. I know since I go to like a primarily white high school, there's a lot of like white students that will abuse it and like the wrong way. And in a sense, like going along with the code switching, I don't think it's only like minorities or people of color that code switch. I also think it is white people as well, because I've interacted with a lot of other white people and they would try to use AAVE with me. And when I didn't like reciprocate that or give that, oh, hey, queen, slay, da 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 energy, it was like they were surprised. Like not all Black people speak all the time with slang.
Yes, yes. I know. Me and other people, we have been told by some other white folks and other non-Black people, you talk differently than other Black people.
Yeah, I can agree. Yeah. So how does those like comments make you feel? Do you ever think like, are you judging me or do you just dismiss it?
I think it changes depending on where I am, who I am with. And over the years, it's changed as I've grown up. I think when I was younger, it did really hurt my feelings because I didn't. Like, you know about racism, you know about prejudice, but I didn't really understand how my white peers saw me and how they expected me to be and how I was some kind of exception when I don't see myself as any different than any other Black person.
Yeah, I definitely agree, like, especially with the childhood thing. I've touched on this a few times in our podcast, and you don't really know the limits or, like, how aggressive microaggressions mm-hmm. are and little subtle racist comments. Like, you don't understand it until you really get older. So as a kid, you're like, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, what's going on? So it is a level of confusion with that as well. But I will also say that I feel like I do code switch. I mm-hmm. think, like, it's just a level of comfortability that you feel with certain people, like you were saying with your sister. I know, like, my closer friends that are Black, I feel more free to, like, not be judged by my language and the slang I use. I know my mom code switches when she uses her work voice and she gets on the phone mm-hmm. and it's, like, a whole different person.
Yeah.
So I know definitely, like, I think everyone code switches in a way.
Yeah, and I agree. I mean, we all do it for professional and relaxed spaces, but some of us, you know, it's not fair when Black people are penalized or discriminated against or targeted for not being able to code switch as quickly, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I think they take it as like, oh, they're ghetto mm-hmm. and by the language they're using because it's not as high, like high quality they want it to be. But I definitely agree with it. I never saw it from that point of view, just like judging people based yeah. on how much slang they use. And it happens a lot in African-American community. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we touched on that. So I would say, like, what situations do you normally feel like you have to code switch in?
Well, you know, I work in meetings when I'm presenting work, or even just in the office, I do not slip into slang. Maybe I'll use slang that I know mm-hmm. all of my coworkers are familiar with, or that, you know,
yeah.
I know it's more mainstream now, but mm-hmm. definitely I try to keep it more standard American English. Like I said, I do switch it up with my sister. I have close friends that I do that with, especially Black friends. And then there are some non-Black friends who, you know, we have an understanding of each other. I know they're not judging me. And, you know, those people you can really let loose and be yourself with. So,
yeah, I see that. I think, honestly, the more I get older, the more I don't really care too much about, like, what other people think about my AAVE. I know when I was younger, I used none, but nowadays, I think I'm getting more comfortable with just speaking how I want to speak. Because mm-hmm. honestly, like, as you can see now, I don't really speak too much, like, with slang. But it does, I throw yeah. a little in there. It's like a sprinkle.
Why variety.
Not? So I definitely, as I get older, I'm more, like, chill on it yes. and not worry too much.
I've noticed that for myself as well. And, you know, going on to just, like, not only the way we present ourselves with the way that we speak, there's this element of how you walk out into public and how you present yourself into, like, something as simple as going shopping,
yeah.
right? Mm-hmm. I can share a little bit about myself, but, for example, especially when I was much younger, going into a store and being followed around mm-hmm. and trying your best to make it clear, like, I am not stealing.
Yes, I definitely agree with that. I think, and, like, going back to, like, younger kids not really fully understanding the extent of racism and microaggressions, I think that's definitely one of them. I know. Also, I look at this subject as, like, a way that you present yourself, like, with your clothes mm-hmm. and, like, just little things like that. I know my grandmother, she's really big on this. We could go to the supermarket and she would want to still look nice because of, back in the day, that stereotype mm-hmm. of if you're not put together, especially as a Black woman, you're, like, messy or you're ghetto. And I think that kind of falls generationally yeah. where you want to be presented nice so you can be treated professionally. So I definitely relate to that a lot.
Definitely. I mean, you know, I notice a difference when I'm, like, dressed well for work and I walk into a store versus when I'm, like, on the weekend yes. and I walk into a store. And it's just the little things, the bag you're carrying. And not even designer, just, like, switching it from a backpack yes. to something more professional. Mm-hmm. You notice the way people speak to you if they use ma'am now with
yeah,
you.
Yeah, definitely. I think one thing that kind of, like, goes, like, hand-in-hand with this is just, like, the feeling you get yourself, like, mm-hmm. feeling like you, like, look more presentable. It gives you kind of a level of confidence. And I think as a Black, like, Black girl, Black woman, just in general, you want to feel powerful and, like, you know, confident in yourself. And one thing I also do want to ask you, how do you feel about, like, the natural hairstyles in, like, workplaces seen as unprofessional?
Oh, yeah, that was a big concern for me as I was entering the workforce, you know, after college.
Yeah.
I did really look at the jobs and their websites to see if their Black employees were wearing natural hair. Or were they wearing braids? Was everyone wearing straightened hair or like a straight weave? And it's really important because when you're coming into work, like you're there to do a job. And yes, you do need to look put together. But
yeah.
I should be able to come in comfortably in the natural way that I am.
Yeah, 100%. I think also, like, something I've observed from, like, the outside is, like, news reporters. You don't ever see, like, especially Black women news reporters ever really show, like, their natural curly hair or wear braids or other protective styles. It's normally just straight weaves and sew-ins and different things like that. Like, those are definitely, like, some type of protective style, but they do pertain mostly to the professionalism, like, stereotype. And yeah, it's kind of, I did see this one girl on Instagram and she's a news reporter. She started coming with braids in her hair and curls. And it was just so refreshing to see that little things like that can really change perspectives of like the workforce. So.
Definitely. And to see a presenter, I think even for non-Black people, like to associate a well-spoken person with all kinds of hair that we wear.
Yeah, definitely.
And furthermore, you know, we talked about, like, being in the store, but as you're, like, walking down the street and, like, I think this is talking about the way you look, too. Like, how does your appearance make other people feel? How does that make you feel? Or how does your demeanor, your behavior make other people feel? Which is, I don't know if that's something you think about. Do you think about that?
I definitely do think about that. I think because just where I came from, like I touched on before, I come from, like, I always kind of want to look presentable. Not one, because you don't know who you're going to meet, but just because of how you're going to be perceived. And especially at school, I do like to dress nice every day. Like, I like to be classy in a sense and, like, look put together, because I know that if you're not, one little thing, like, your hair could not be the right way and you're automatically seen as, like, oh, you're messy and things like that. Especially like with my natural curly hair, I started wearing it out more and I can notice like the little things that are kind of different. Like just with the way you're perceived and like you always have to have your hair not, you know, just like things like that. So it's the way I'm perceived and the way that I dress definitely is embedded in me and like my grandma, my mom, just all those little things is definitely generational.
Definitely. And it's sometimes it's hard to find the line between what am I doing to make myself feel comfortable and what am I doing to make someone else feel comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's a question worth asking every time you like push yourself to get ready in the morning and you're like, am I straightening my hair because I want to or because I feel like I need to in this space?
Yeah, so I just want to going from your, like, how you're perceived, I want to talk, like, your tone. So do you ever feel like you have to not be as angry as you are about something because of being a Black woman? Or do you think that you're just like, I let it out?
I still, you know, I'm young still. I mean, I'm a young adult, so I'm still learning about how to be myself.
Yeah.
But I do think there is a sense of holding back anger, especially in professional spaces or spaces where you do want to make a good impression. It's kind of worrying, like, was my tone too harsh or, you know, or do they think it's harsh because of who I am and the way that I look? Or, you know, if I accidentally mess up a word and I say something that was, like, grammatically incorrect, but
yeah.
Like, you know, does that change their perception of me and my education and my ability to work or to present? So I think, you know, with your tone and then even just those human slip-ups. Yeah,
definitely.
Slipping up on English,
yeah,
as we sometimes do, it is in the back of your mind, or at least my mind, of how am I being perceived by everyone around me?
Yeah, I can definitely, like, relate to this. Since, like I've said before, going to, like, a white school, I can see, like, there will be people who, like, test me. Like, for instance, there's, like, I've had two instances at my school, being at this, like, school for 3 years, that, like, specifically white boys feel, like, the entitlement thing. And so, like, they'll talk to me in a way that's, like, you're not going to talk to me like that. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, let that stuff fly because I don't like to be disrespected, especially if I'm not disrespecting you. So it's, like, a level of anger that you kind of feel because it's, like, especially being Black, like, is it because of that? Or is it because I'm a girl? Like, what is it? So I try to kind of hold that back and, like, respond to them, like, but you know you can be a little snarky, so
I was gonna say
I respond to them in a way like are you serious? Like, well, what are you talking about? And it's like you can't be too mad because then you're automatically put as like you're starting problems or causing problems. So it is like a level where you have to like, okay, let me not be too loud or be too harsh with my words, even though they were doing that to me.
Yeah, and just like, you know, weighing your options, feeling out the space that you're in. It's a burden sometimes to have to think about all those things.
But it's just things that you have to do. And like we've said before, you kind of grow up learning it. It's like your parents tell you to a certain extent, but it's so much that you have to learn firsthand experience. And it teaches you a lot just being Black in this world and how to go about certain issues and what problems are really worth fighting for. Because, you know, everyone like someone getting pulled over, they go to jail because of how they were acting. You know, just little things like that you have to take into consideration.
Yes, definitely. And, you know, I just had the thought of like, it's a lot to think about and it's a lot of a mental burden to carry. And it can kind of be a benefit because you do learn how to be sensitive to spaces and the people, and that can be a wonderful power, but it's unfortunate that you have to learn it because of who you are.
Yeah, definitely. Hopefully, like, for the next generation, like, when we have kids, that it's not as harsh as it is. Because I feel like each year it kind of gets a little better as much as we spread awareness and having podcasts like these. But I just hope they don't have to learn as harsh, like, for our next generation.
Yeah.
So, closing with that, as a Black woman in society, there are so many things that we have to do just to not be perceived as a threat and to fight for a certain level of respect. However, there's so many things that we celebrate, like coming together for this podcast. So make sure you guys follow us on the Evelore House at the Evelore House on Instagram and go to our website, evelorehouse.org, to check us out and donate to our cause of helping underserved teens of color. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye.